سلام کعبه دلها حسین جان، سلام شمع ما فلها حسین جانم، حسین جانم حسین جانم حسین جان.
اعوذ بالله من الشیطان الرجیم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم، الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين والصلاة والسلام على اشرف الانبياء والمرسلين حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا رحمة للعالمين ابي القاسم محمد اللهم صل على
محمد وعلى محمد
والصلاة والسلام على اهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على اعدائهم اجمعين. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. اللهم صل على محمد. اما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise and glory belong to Allah, the creator of this universe, the one who created everything with the utter wisdom, mercy, forgiveness, openness, vastness. In creation, he has shown his qualities of who a God should be. We cannot understand what a God is, but we can understand who the God should be. That's a little bit of a different way of getting the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is that we gain the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in a way that we define who He is. Define Him who He is. The other way of looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that we should learn or gain knowledge about what He should be. So that's two different ways. When it comes to trying to understand who He is, we cannot understand Him in totality as He is. Okay? So our mind is going to go through many different phases about trying to figure out who He is. When you say that He is everywhere, and then you say that He is... What do you say? He is everywhere, but He is nowhere. Okay? So the mind goes, okay, if He is everywhere, okay, and accept. He's everywhere, we know what every means, we know what where means, and everywhere, okay, we understand. But then you come up to the statement, you say that He's nowhere. So you just negated the first statement. Right? You said He's everywhere, then you say that He's nowhere. So you negated the first statement, now where are you at in knowledge? Right? So when you try to go into information about who He is, or there's another different other logics as well that we use, that he's awwal wal akhir. He's in the beginning and then He's in the end. Okay, so how are you going to say that He's in the beginning when there is no time? Right? So time would have to be first and then it would be Him. True? Otherwise, how can you say first when there is no time? And how can you say end or huwal akhir when if He's going to be the end, right, then there is no time. If time is still there to say end and He's still there, then, right? So, is He huwal awwal wal akhir? He is. But should He be this way? Yes. He should be this way. That He should be there before any creation and He should be there after any creation. He should be like that. Because if there was something before Him, then that's not God. If something is after Him, that's not God. Right? So when we have this particular information that we find in the traditions and in the Holy Quran about the marfat or the knowledge about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we come to this particular point where we have to negate something, first say something and then negate something. And then we get to this issue about, you know, How are we supposed to know about Him when He is the only one who knows about His essence? So we have to discuss what He should be, and that our mind can kind of calculate and grasp the idea. So we can say God should be almighty. And we understand that completely. There's nobody who's going to come up and say doubt that. So might, in might, there should be someone who's ultimate, who is the almighty. That everybody else is weak and He's the almighty. We can understand that. We see that among our own selves. That there is one person in the whole world, if you were to have a competition, which, you know, you have the biggest competition in the whole world, although not every country participates, it's Olympics. So in the Olympics, you have a particular person who's going to lift the most amount of weight. So you will say that this person is the strongest in the world. Right? And we can grasp that idea. Others are strong, but He's the strongest. True? But when we utilize the word He's almighty or He's the strongest, then again the mind comes to the point, okay, if others also have strength, and He also has strength, so maybe there, like, if on the strength of scale He's 10, maybe there is somebody who's 9. Or maybe somebody who's 8. Maybe somebody at 7. But when we say Almighty Allah, basically what we're saying is that everyone who has received might, he has received the might from Allah. Right? So now there's no such thing that there's a scale of 1 to 10 and somebody is 9, 8, 7 or 6 and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala happens to be 10. No, there's only one might. In this whole universe, there's only one might, and that might is shown by His creations in such and such areas. So it's just a show of might. If you take that away, then nobody is mighty. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes the might away from someone, then nobody is mighty. Right? So everyone who is mighty, in our traditions, we know that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was I'll probably not give you a chance to recite the salawat, so whenever you feel that you want to recite salawat, it's up to you, right? We know that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was the mightiest among the companions at that time. And we know about his courage and we know about his might. That he had lifted the door of Khaybar that nobody could. So we know that. And he flew that door and it became a bridge and the army came and that battle was won. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam was asked, he said, you know, because somebody looked at what he was eating. So he was eating a bread that was really, really hard. And he used to break that bread from on his knees. That's how hard that bread would be. And would just eat it or in water or, you know. So you're looking at this person who is known for might in all of the Arabian Peninsula, and the stories are all around that he's the one who had lifted Khaybar. So this person was expecting somebody who would be having a lot of proteins, would be having a lot of carbs, would be having, you know, all of these workout sessions, and, you know, they would be like tall and, you know, big muscles and all this other stuff that you see. Like superheroes, they're all muscular and all, you know, strong and, you know. So he's looking for somebody like that and he sees Imam Ali al-Sassam eating. He's like, are you the one who lifted Khaybar? Right? He said, how did you lift Khaybar? How did you lift it? He said, I did not lift Khaybar from the strength of my arm. I lifted Khaybar from the strength of my iman. Right? So, if Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam has any strength, it's due to his iman in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And because he had reached that place where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gifted him one, you know, some of the might that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has as a gift. Here, it's yours. Why? Because you're my slave. You're my slave. You have lived your life in my obedience, in my submission. I'm going to use you as a means for my religion to conquer other religions, other nations. I'm going to use you as means for the defense of my religion. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam as means. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam means, as we've been talking about, all of these things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created are means. But if you take the iman out of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, if you take the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala out from Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, what strength does he have? He has no strength. He has no strength, because all of the strength given to him is because of his iman and submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you want to lift doors, and if you want to lift something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you need to, or if you want to represent and defend Islam, you need to have iman. You need to be in the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise you cannot. And today the people who are defending Islam, they have no iman, or they have no submission. They've taken the flag of defending Islam while they have no conviction themselves. They are not submissive to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They are submissive to their own will, to their own religion. Not the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not the Quran of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To their own made up religion, they have faith in that, and they are submitting to that will of their own, and now they are defending Islam and spreading Islam. How can you do that? You will be weak. You will be defeated. And in your name, the name of Islam will go down. You want to represent Islam? You want to sit down on this minbar and represent Islam? You need to have conviction. You need to be a submissive servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, you sit down here, you will manipulate Islam, you will distract people, you will deceive people, and in the end, the people, what religion they're going to have is the religion that you have portrayed. And that's what's happening today. People's imams have been made weak by the tool, by the means that was supposed to make them stronger. The people sitting on this holy place, they are telling people that mazallah, 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 Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam happens to be God. That he's a partner. You know how big of an insult that is to Imam Ali? The worst thing you can do to Imam Ali alayhi salam. Even worse than breaking the door of Bibi Fatima. To say to Imam Ali alayhi salam that mazallah, he's God, how would he take that statement? How upset he would be. The me who did my duty in submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I was patient enough to even have my own house burned and my door fallen on that lady of light who was crushed in between the wall and the door. I stayed firm and patient for the sake of Tawheed. And today you are cutting the neck of that Tawheed and selling it to people, and so that your pockets can be filled with money and people can say, wah, 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 wah. Can praise you and glorify you. And we haven't gotten enough level of understanding that we can say to that person who's doing that, what you're doing has nothing to do with Islam. We don't have the strength to be able to say to this person that this person is not going to be allowed to sit on the minbar of the Holy Prophet, and nobody is going to invite that person who is making the iman, the faith of individuals weaker, who is changing their religion with their own whims, with their own logic that has no logic in Quran or in the traditions of Ahlul Bayt or the Holy Prophet. Instead, and I'm talking this to my new generation. The old generation, I'm not sure if they will have the strength. You guys need to have the strength. You need to understand the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You need to understand your Tawheed is the one that you have to understand. Otherwise, you will not be able to send the prophethood or imamate or the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or Qiyamah. You will not understand it. I mentioned before that Tawheed is the zip file. When you open it, you need a software. That software is Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. That software is Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And when you open Tawheed, what you will find is all of Islam. You keep on opening that file, What you will find is nubuwwat, you will find imamat, you will find adl ilahi, you will find qiyamat, you will find namaz, roza, hajj, you will find akhlaq, the purity of the soul, the diseases of the soul. You will find the whole expansion of that fire, and somebody can study that for 60 years, still in the end they will say, I do not know anything. Still they will say, I don't know anything. Amazing. Right? But just if somebody comes up to you and says, oh, prove to me that Allah is there, and you don't have any proof from tradition, from Quran or logic, you will be defeated in today's world. Somebody, one of the atheists had a discussion with one person who called themselves a Muslim. He said, God is everywhere? He said, yes, God is everywhere. He said, God is in here? He said, God is in here. With me? So he asked him the question, God everywhere? He said, yes, God is everywhere. Is he in there? He said, yes, he's in there. He said, okay. I just drink to your God. I mean, the argument that he gave to this person, he used the same argument against him to prove to him that what he's saying is wrong, so therefore the religion or the God that he's believing is wrong. And what I'm seeing now, and I've mentioned this to you before, and the reason why we started all of these topics, and now I think we only have 2 hours left, if I'm not mistaken. Right? But if you had a person who was going to make Imam Ali alayhi salam look like God, you would have had this whole hall full. You would not have space to sit down. But if you try to make him a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then a few slaves show up and the rest are angels, right? So if you do not, you know, come to a better understanding of Tawheed, the reason why we're going through all of this is so that you can come to a place where you can defend your aqaid. And if you can defend Tawheed, you'll be able to defend Nubuwwat, you'll be able to defend Imamat and so forth. We have a particular dua that says that, O Allah, make me deeply understand who you are. Allahumma a'rifni nafsak. O Allah, make me a'rifni, yani make me understand you deeply. Like not just how many gods? One. Right? Then what? That's it. God one. La ilaha illallah. What's the meaning? There is no God but Allah. This translation is not going to cut it anymore. Why? Christian, for example, if you ask a Christian, how many gods? What do you say? One. If you ask a Jew, how many gods? One. If you ask a Hindu, who is the ultimate, the all creator of all of this universe? The Hindu will say, one. You ask the Sikh, say one. What is the difference? The difference is the deep understanding of who that God is. That's how you will be distinguished from a Christian, from a Jew, from a Hindu, from a Sikh. Right? That's how you're going to be distinguished. If you type in monotheistic religions, guess how many religions are going to come up? Mono means one, theist, deity. How many religions are going to come up if you ask a Google? Huh? No. Monotheist religion, you type in there, you'll get Islam, Christianity and Judaism. Islam, Christianity and Judaism are all Semitic religions. I don't know if you knew that. We will come back to where we left you off, okay? It's good to know. Islam, Judaism and Christianity are Semitic religions. Semitic religions happen to be of those nations that are called Semitic nations. There are 24 Semitic nations. And out of those 24 Semitic nations, Muslims happen to be a Semitic nation as well. Christians happen to be a Semitic nation as well. And Jews are supposed to be a Semitic nation as well. Because we believe in Hazrat Isa, we believe in Hazrat Isa. We believe in Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Musa, Hazrat Hassan, we believe in them. So if somebody is saying that you are anti-Semite, if somebody says anything about, you know, Judaism or about anybody. They say you are anti-Semite, but if somebody says that something bad about Islam, nobody says to him that you are anti-Semite. Because them saying bad things about Islam, also they are saying something bad about a Semitic religion, about a nation who's Semitic. And if you are going to call somebody who says something bad about a Semitic nation, then you should also persecute that person who says something bad about Islam. Same way as if a person says that, there are laws that they can be arrested. There are laws that can arrest that person if they are anti-Semite. If they say it, if they act it. Right? But people can do whatever they want. They can, you know, defame Islam. They can defame the Holy Prophet. They can go and protest outside of mosques with guns. They don't get arrested. They are not said that what you have done is wrong. They are protected by the law. This is the world you and I live in. But why can't we defend it? Because we didn't even know that we are a Semitic nation. Aramaic is a language, is the mother tongue, is the mother of the Arabic. Aramaic was before Arabic is an offshoot of it. I don't know if you saw that movie, Passion of Christ, but when they were talking, they were translation, I could understand 70-80% of it. They were speaking in Aramaic. Aramaic. So you need to open your mind. You cannot spend 6 hours on PS4 anymore. You cannot spend 4 hours playing, you know, Wii U or... you know, being on Facebook, sitting there and then counting how many likes and dislikes you have. Or how what's still happening on the Instagram and how many pictures you're receiving or Twitter or all of these number and hash and all this other stuff. You can't do that anymore. You can spend a bit of time on it, but you cannot spend all of your time on it because you need to now learn, you need to now put your time, you need to go through those logical arguments where you're able to defend Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tawheed of yours. So the dua says that, Allahumma a'rifni nafsak fa'inlam tu'arifni nafsak lam a'rif nabiyak. Allah, let me understand deeply, right, firmly your essence. If I do not understand it, if I don't understand you, I will not understand your prophet. And if I do not understand your, let me understand your prophet. If I do not understand your prophet, I will not understand my imam. And dalaltu an dini, I will go astray. I will go astray in my religion. Where is the being astray starting from? Where is being astray starting from? Not knowing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Where did the Christians go wrong? Where did the Christians go wrong? Dalaltu an dini, the ones that are going to go astray in their religion. Where did Christians go wrong? Understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Who made them understand Allah wrong? The ones who were with Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, they were Muslims. They were Muslims, they followed Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam's teachings, they sacrificed themselves for Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. They were Muslims, and on the day of judgment, they are going to be resurrected as Muslims, as believers, and they're going to be rewarded heaven. But what happened after Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam? After Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, those scholars, those priests, those reverends, those pastors, those individuals gave them a wrong definition of what God is. They told them that this being that you have had, the miracles that this being has shown, this is actually the Son of the God. And the Son of God has been given support by the soul. And also, they took it to the point where they said that God has got inside of him. So therefore, he is God. What is happening with Shias today? Those individuals, as I told you about, who sit down and say that Imam Ali Ma'azallah is God. What will happen to those people if we do not defend, if we do not help, If we do not get them on the right path, what will happen to them after 500 years, after 200 years, after 50 years? Would they have even a prophet remaining? No. Would they have any of the other imams remaining? If any of the other imams, the 11 imams, are remaining, to them they will be demigods. What do Hindus say? Yeah, there is one almighty creator and everything, but the rest of the gods, they are demigods. They are, you know, helpers of that almighty. The Jews rabbis, the ones who were the teachers of their religion, changed the teachings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and made it in a way that was most favorable to them. And there are verses of the Holy Quran that talk about it. Most favorable how? Today. And the reason why I'm telling you all of these things, Rasul's hadith, is that whatever Bani Israel went through, my nation is going to go through. Even if they went through the needle, the hole of the needle, my nation is going to go through that hole of the needle. Meaning exactly, ditto copy of what happened to Bani Israel is going to happen to my nation. You look at the Holy Quran, it talks about Bani Israel all the time. The most prophet that is mentioned in the Holy Quran is Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. The most amount of stories is about Hazrat Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. What did these people do? They changed the religion for their own self-vested interests. What do some people do? 18 lakh for one. 18 lakh ka ek ashrot hai, ek majlis ek ashrot. 18 lakh, somebody tell me in dollars so that I can tell the kids. What would be in dollars? Thank you. $18,000 they will charge in advance, or you know, make the contract first that we will recite 10 majlises, but you need to give us $18,000. How much is one majlis now? See? $1,800 for 1 hour. Who's getting rich? Yeah.
The Malana.
Who gets paid $1,800 in an hour? I don't know. The lawyers, I don't know, like probably, if you go through the list, they're probably like top 10 lawyers. I mean, you know, generally $600 or $250 or $400 is what a lawyer charges. Yeah, well, I haven't dealt with them for a while. But how many people love lawyers, you know? Right. Hardly anybody love lawyers, you know. Hey. Maybe just the lawyers themselves don't even love each other. But I mean, who is getting rich in this? It's those people. And how are they changing the religion? So that they are the ones whose pockets are going to become fat. They can live in big houses, mansions, where there's protocol. And you see that in the English speakers too. People that are manipulating the youths, directing them towards the wrong path, but in a systematic approach where they do not come out straight out. You know, if two people are going together, they're walking together, like it happens. When two people are walking together, sometimes there's a step and the other person pushes the other person, right? So now the other person pushed God a little bit this way, so now he's walking again with that person. And then a few steps, he pushes again. So now this person's direction keeps on changing. Without even realizing, they're not going in the direction anymore. They're actually going the totally opposite direction. And some of the English speakers are doing this. They're just nudging a little bit in every hour. Just a little bit of nudge. Just a little bit of change of the angle. Just a little bit of the change of the ideology. Just a little bit of change about history. Just a little bit change about the worship. Just a little bit change about politics and Islam. Just a little bit. And the youths now are going in a direction that you want to get them back. They are fans. How can you get a fan to come back? A fan is going to defend the celebrity that they are a fan of. No matter what the celebrity does. You'll find celebrities who drink and drive and they, you know, mashallah, end up killing somebody and the fans are still defending them. And that's what's happening to the celebrities. Being a Mawlana is not a celebrity. Being a Mawlana, you're supposed to be the representatives of the Holy Prophet and Anbiya alayhi salam. According to the tradition of Rasulullah, the scholars are the representative of him on the Muslims. And whoever becomes upset to a scholar has gotten upset to me. And whoever upsets me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets upset and that person will never go to heaven. That is, where are those individuals? No prophet came and sold his religion. Kulla as'alukum alayhi ajr. There are 14 verses that talk about kulla as'alukum alayhi ajr. Do not ask of any reward from them. There are only two places where from reward something else is associated. Illa mawaddata fil qurba, and the other one is somebody who decides to choose the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the reward. Only two places. You want to give reward to the Prophet? The Prophets have said, we don't want any reward. Now you are the representative of the Prophet, you are asking people, you are telling them an enormous amount of money that cannot be justified by the common sense of a 6-year-old child. And still being a representative of the Prophets? And our understanding of religion is that shallow that we cannot see that? I'll tell you one more thing, because our youth need to know this. We cannot hide this from them anymore. We cannot protect them from this anymore. They need to realize the world that they are going into. They need to understand what they have to face. If they have spent their whole life, you know, just on Twitter and PS4 and Nintendo and everything else, they will not be strong enough to defend themselves. We never used to ask any question about ideology to my parents. I never asked. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is one, okay, all in one. I never asked how he is, why he is, what he should be. I never asked. If I had asked, I would probably... Imam Ali alayhi salam, how is he? Like, anything to do with the religion, we never asked. We accepted it ta'abbudan. Like, this is what they have said, this is what. And today's children, I deal with children all the time, 6-year-olds, 7-year-olds are asking questions that the parents don't know. They're saying, okay, if there is a God, he's nowhere but everywhere, how is that? The father doesn't know, the mother doesn't know. They're going to be asking more questions. They need to know. There was a person reciting the majlis, and you know how half an hour or something like that goes into naras and everything. So the person who was paying this Maulana, he said to him that, look, I'm paying him 400 rupees per minute. So if you're going to be doing naras for half an hour, we're not getting the money's worth. So just be quiet and listen to his majlis. So whether that person is an English speaker or whether that person is an Urdu speaker, anyone who demands and comes out and demands and will not recite the Masaib of Imam Hussein until their pockets are filled, you should know that person has not learned from the Holy Prophet. That person can come and tell you lessons about Karbala, but he hasn't learned even one lesson from Karbala. He can have a whole 10 days lectures on the lessons of Karbala, but he doesn't even know one lesson. The biggest lesson of Karbala is don't have the love of the world in your hearts. When Shimr was on about to cut the neck of Imam Hussein, Imam Hussein asked, do you not know me? Do you not know that I'm the grandson of the Prophet? He said, I know. Do you not know that I'm the son of Ali and Fatima? I know. Why are you doing this? Imam, even at that time, the enemy of Allah, he's trying to save him. Even in his last moments, he has the immense love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and for his creations, that a person like Shimr, may the curse of Allah be upon him, he's trying to save him in these last moments of his life. So why are you doing this? Say, I'm doing this because I've been promised wealth. I've been promised wealth, I want that. Imam said to him, do you not want the intercession of my grandfather? He replied, no. He settled his affairs with wealth. He sold himself to the devil for money. If somebody comes and does that, what have they done? How have they learned? Do they not want the intercession of the grandfather of Imam Hussein? To sell their blood? To sell their blood to the highest bidder? They don't want the intercession of the grandfather of Imam Hussein? And the people who invite them and listen to them, do they not want the intercession of the grandfather of Imam Hussein? If there was no Karbala, if there were no Masaib, if there was nothing, what would we have and what would they have? If you and I also have the love of this world inside of our hearts, we should let go. There's no point in keeping it and then also trying to understand Imam Hussein. Money is just means, it's not the end. For Imam Hussein, we should give everything. We shouldn't ask him, we should give everything to him. You know, amazing, generous individual Imam Hussein was. You know, when you look at history, the generosity of Imam Hussein was amazing. There was a slave of Imam Hussein by the name of Safi. He used to take care of the farm of Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wasalam. And, you know, he would take care of the trees, and he loved that farm. He loved the trees of dates. And he loved Imam Hussein, alayhi salatu wasalam, immensely. He was a slave of Imam Hussein. And he used to have this kind of ritual where when he would get really tired, he would go under the tree, under the shade of the tree, and he would have his lunch. So his lunch was one bread, bit of water, and a few dates. So he was having his lunch, and a dog comes by. And he looks at the dog, says, you look like you're hungry. He gave a half of the bread to the dog. Said, you have this. I am the slave of Hussein. I'm the slave of that master who's generous. I've learned generosity from him. You go ahead and have this. And then he's talking to that dog. He says, are you satisfied? Are you okay now? Are you not hungry anymore? Imam Hussein was watching him from behind a tree. He says, Safi, today you're a free man. He says, Safi, you're a free man, and all of this is yours. Imam Hussein gave him the whole of that farm. He said, this is all yours. What? Why? When Imam Hussein saw his sincerity, he's like, you're a free man. To let go of a master who is the generous of them all, to let go of his door, to knock on the door of people, to want the reward of the Masaib of Imam Hussein from people, once try to ask that master, ask him anything you want, he will give it to you. the right of our masters is that we do what we can to save the light of Islam that they save through their sacrifices. This is our duty, to save the light of Islam. It's an obligation on us. With the right means, with the right knowledge, with the right direction, without violence, that violence is going to bring the light of Islam down. We've been trying to protest about the unfairness that happened 1400 years ago. Look at our protest. How peaceful it is. We go on in the Julus. What are we doing? We're crying. Have you ever seen anybody protest that way? We're crying. You saw it for the Julus. We're crying, we're shedding tears. We're reading the history of Imam Hussein. And yet to those Julus, people come and they are violent. They put bombs and they kill those people who are not saying anything to them. The Shias of Imam Hussein have always protected the sacrifice with their lives. But the light of the religion should be protected. If our Julus, if our Matam, if our Azad becomes a source for this light to be brought down, then where are we? If because of our Azad the light of Islam is going down, where are we? Well, we have to be answerable. We have to be answerable to their father and mother who had to bury their 6 months baby. How are you going to be answerable to them? What are you going to say to them? How are you going to comfort their souls? You need to comfort the soul of Imam Hussein every day. On Friday, it's not just Imam Zaman who sees our actions. In front of all of Aimma, our actions are put. When Imam Hussein looks at my Nama Amal, when he looks at what I've done throughout the whole week, how would he feel? He is the individual who cried on my 6 months baby, but he's not able to protect the light of Islam. He's not able to know what it is. How are we going to say, what are we going to say to that father and mother who had to bury a 6 months baby? The loneliest of all funerals. There was nobody else, just the father and the mother and the 6 months baby neck cut. A lifeless body of a 6 month child, a mother is watching, going under the sand of Karbala. With a little grave made. Why did Imam Hussein make the grave of Hazrat Ali Asghar? The rest of the people's bodies are lying there in the battlefield of Karbala. He made the grave of Hazrat Ali Asghar that nobody should be able to do anything to that little body. When these enemies of Allah were cutting the necks of the from the bodies, and they cut the necks of Hazrat Qasim, they cut the neck of Hazrat Abbas. And then they write in history that when Imam Shahjahan buried Hazrat Abbas, he would pick up the, he would kiss the cut arms of Hazrat Abbas. Kiss them. When they went and they cut the necks of Bani Hashim, of the friends of Imam Hussein, and they trampled the bodies with horses. Imam Zaman gives salams to those bodies, to the body of Imam Hussein, whose chest was made to connect to his back. And they were cutting the necks of these bodies. They said, you know, we cannot find that little child that Hussein brought. And they remembered Ali Asghar because everybody was moved by him. Everybody remembered Ali Asghar. Said, where is that little child that Hurmala's arrow cut his neck? That Hussein had brought, who was thirsty, he asked for water. Where is he? I said, we should find it. And they take a spear and they start going in the side of Karbala. You cannot imagine. If you could imagine what happened. You cannot imagine. It's not bearable. The soul would leave the body, it's unbearable. That the spear would go in the sand of Karbala, it will come out empty. But it went once in the sands of Karbala, it didn't come out empty. السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليك مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتك والله have peace and blessings on the soul of the martyrs of Karbala. The ones who gave this ultimate sacrifice. May our peace and blessings be upon them. Every single day of our lives that we live, and do not let this opportunity to be our last. Give us all the opportunity to one day visit the grave of Imam Hussain Sattu Salam, that you can stand there and give your salams to him and shed your tears on the hardship of him. Allah protect the pilgrims as Irene that have gone to the Haram of Imam Hussein. Bring them back safely to their families. Give us the wisdom and the courage to stand for Islam, to protect its light. Make us from the friends and followers of the Imam. May he come as soon as possible.
Salam-e-Kabe-ye-del-ha-Hussain-jaan Salam-e-Kabe-ye-del-ha-Hussain-jaan جانم حسین، جانم حسین جان، حسین جانم حسین، جانم حسین جان. سلام ای باب رحمت باب جانم، سلام ای باب رحمت باب جانم، سلام ای رهبر والا حسین جانم، سلام ای میوه قلب پیامبر، سلام ای میوه قلب پیامبر، سلام ای زاده زهرا حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جانم.
همیشه بلبم نام تو باشد، همیشه بلبم نام تو باشد، همی گویم که ای مولا حسین جانم، غمت را از دل و جان می‌پذیرم، غمت را از دل و جان می‌پذیرم، کنم برپا از آیت را حسین جانم،
حسین جانم، حسین جانم، حسین جان، حسین جانم، 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 حسین جانم.